It just feels like it's been a hot second since I've spoken to arguably one of my favorite educators in the great state of Connecticut, but also one of our education experts on the show. Fran Rabinowitz is here. I feel like it has been a minute, Fran, and I'm mad at myself.
Yeah, I know, Melissa. It does seem like a minute, but, you know, here we are in June, right?
I know, but happy end of school year. You got to be getting near to the end of the school year, right? I think, maybe?
Yes. It is. It's definitely at the end of the school year. And it's not just the kids counting the days. Trust me.
Oh, I feel like the teachers count it way more than kids. Are you kidding me? So, you know, full disclosure, we're away next week we're celebrating our 10-year wedding anniversary, Derek and myself. It's the 1 week a year that it's just the two of us. No Chase, no nothing.
And wonderful.
Thank you. Yes, we're very excited. You know, once I finished up Diner Tour and all that, I'm like, okay, that's when we're going to go because I need to, you know, cut off from everything, work, everything. So I say to Chase's school, I'm like, hey, I'm not sending Chase to school next week. It's like 3 half days. And honestly, I already feel like I'm putting a lot on my parents, taking him for the week. They're thrilled, but I still, you know, it's a lot. And they're like, no problem. Have a great summer. I'm like, they don't care. They're like, listen, we're great. One less kid we got to deal with. I'm fine with that. So, yeah, I think the teachers are usually more excited than even the kids are. So I'm with you.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you, when I first started teaching, I used to think, oh, my gosh, it's going to be so wonderful, June. But, you know, everybody is kind of cranky in June because there's so many things that are due at the end of the year.
Oh, my God,
and
yes.
Believe it or not, then there are a lot of feelings about separating from a class that you had all year.
That's so
it's
true.
Interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
So I was saying to you off the air, Fran, and my listeners know, because actually Chase came on one of my Diner Tour shows this month. And yeah, he popped on at one point and he almost name dropped his enemies at school. And I'm like, honey, we don't do that. We can't do that. And so I then had to address with my audience, yes, Chase had some run-ins with kids that, you know, they were not very kind to him. And we had to kind of go through not so much bullying, but just, hey, like, this is how we handle all that great stuff. But even Chase yesterday said to me, he's like, Mom, I can't believe the school year's over. And he's like, I don't know how to now go to summer mode. Like that idea of even separating, even though it wasn't a great school year, it's still, there were moments. And he's like, it's crazy that it's ending. And I liked my teacher and I liked this and I liked that. And it's over. So yeah, it's an emotional toll, even though it's, you know, we're ready.
It truly is. I'm looking at all my grandchildren. They all have different feelings about the end of the year. And it's transitioning into camp or whatever, you know, it's change, and change isn't easy. But I'm telling you, change is not easy for teachers either. They welcome the summer, but I'm telling you, separating from that class, I still remember it. It's very difficult.
It is. It's bittersweet. Certainly. It really is.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I'm glad that I am catching you in what I loved what you said, which is that I don't know why we always think that June is so kind of, you know, down and out and we're out of here.
Celebratory.
Because I argued, what was it, Fran? I think the middle of May, I said, whoever thinks Thanksgiving to Christmas is the busiest time of year, you've got it wrong. It's the middle of May till the middle of June that is easily the hardest time of the year. I think it's insane.
I mean, when you're in school mode, for sure
crazy.
It's a wild time of the year.
It totally is. Well, we never stop talking about education and how we can improve upon it, what's working, what's not with Fran, all 365 days a year. So we never take a summer break from Fran Rabinowitz. That is for sure. So I came across this report recently, Fran, and immediately I thought of you because I know you and I are kindred spirits in this. We love reading and we know the impact it has.
Yep.
A report last month showed a troubling decline in student test scores. This is nationwide, by the way, dating back to 2015. So in the last decade, with performance falling most notably, no shocker here, in children's reading ability. Researchers say that kids and adults who have trouble reading have traditionally relied on a family member for help, but are now turning to artificial intelligence. And so now you're talking about another level of where reading comprehension and critical thinking, imagination, all those things, you're now creating even a bigger, I'd say, gap in that growth of learning. And I wanted to get your take on this.
So there are lots of things. You know, I recently brought in a gentleman, Jonathan Haidt, about the use of screens in, you know, with kids. And I do think we have to look at that. And, you know, I'm not one that says kids shouldn't have screens. I'm not one for that. But I am saying that it needs to be regulated. And I have to say, I do think that is a partial piece, not all of it, but a partial piece. I worry, you know, I know that the success in reading is the greatest equity strategy we have. It's what makes kids successful when they get to third and fourth grade and beyond. They have to be able to read. And there in this country, there should be no reason why we're saying kids aren't reading independently by grade three. Okay, so be that as it may, let me just say to you, oral language and the building of language is incredibly important. And what I see is people talking less to each other. And kids are not, I don't think, building their oral language in the way they used to. In the grocery store, you know, taking your child in the cart at 18 months around the grocery store, pointing things out. It breaks my heart when I see a child on a screen in the grocery store, because that's such an opportunity to build the oral language. That's part of it. The other part is we weren't always the smartest on how to teach reading, okay? And we're getting there. We're getting smarter, and we know the science of reading. We know we have to teach phonemic awareness and phonics and vocabulary and comprehension and all of those things. But we always didn't know the best methods for doing that. And we are, in the past few years, I champion the fact that the research has shown us this is the way the brain develops. This is what you need to do. So I think it's complex. And I think we just have to grow in that area. And I think it is not something teachers can do alone or families can do. We have to do it together. And I'll also say, I do think that AI can play a part, but it can't take the place of a human being. Mm-hmm. And there are so many things, Melissa, that I'm looking at. You know, like we have reading coaches, and I think reading coaches are great. They help teachers. I wonder about, are we doing intervention with those reading coaches directly to kids? Because they have the greatest skills. They ought to be intervening with kids as well.
Fran Rabinowitz is the executive director at the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents. We're talking about findings from a report last month showing a troubling decline in student test scores dating back to 2015, performance falling most notably in children's reading ability. And now researchers say that artificial intelligence can make that learning gap even wider, because you used to kind of rely on people who could read, write, all of that, and now you're even going to AI. And I was thinking about this, Fran, that even the idea of look it up. I was saying this to a librarian who was on my diner tour recently. I said, even the idea of when we were kids, when I was a kid, if I didn't know something, look it up meant you found the dictionary of whatever letter that was. So a dictionary, look it up. We don't even have that, because forget artificial intelligence. That's a whole nother level. We have lost even that concept of opening a book to look something up. Years ago. So I don't even want it all to fall on artificial intelligence. I think I'm glad that they look at the last decade plus, because even that idea of looking something up became digital and really stunted our growth with critical thinking and knowing how to research and knowing how to read and knowing how to write. That is one big thing that I think has been declining, and we really haven't addressed that properly. But some of the things you brought up, I think, are really encouraging, because to your point, yes, there's a partnership there. We got to work with our schools and education experts.
Yep.
But I actually think a lot of this falls on what goes on at home. And I'm not blaming the parents, because I, too, am a parent and I can learn from some of these things. But you bring up, for example, you go out to a restaurant, you go to the grocery store, for example. If your kid is sitting on a phone, and again, not judging, then that is an opportunity to be like, hey, you know what? Put the phone down and let's try to figure out how to have a conversation with your child. Or you brought up, this was something I took from your playbook. When you're in the car, don't put the radio on. I know I work in radio, so that's like totally, you can't do that. But you shut the radio off or you shut your music off. And instead you point out, hey, can you read that sign? Hey, what color is that? Yes. And having conversations in the car. And we don't do that enough. It's basically, it sounds silly, but engaging with your child and talking a lot and having conversations and working on eye contact, and let alone just reading to them at night. There are things that we could just actively be doing to engage with them more that would already help with the reading ability.
Exactly. It's that oral language that, and it's natural. It was natural. Mm. You know, you point things out to kids, you build their vocabulary, and that gives them the readiness skills to read. You know, there's no question about it. And I just think some of the things that we did naturally, we're not doing anymore. I'm telling you, and this is for adults, I have to abridge everything. Everything that I write or I do, people will say to me, it's too long, Fran, do a one-pager. Nobody reads anymore. Just do a one-pager. If you want people to read this, one page, that's it. That's serious business. Mm. You know what I mean? And I'm talking legislature. I'm talking everyone. And I think we all have to look at it as a society. You know, I understand the mandates of getting kids off the screens during school time, off their phones and blah, blah, blah. However, I keep saying, yeah, but adults, we are not the very best at that either. I was at a meeting the other day. The keynoter was there and everybody was on their phone. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like the keynoter wasn't great. It was a very good person. But we're so conditioned now to be in this AI mode that it's just it's really not okay.
It's so true.
Yes.
I love that you say that, though, Fran, because you're so right. We are so fixated sometimes on, like, you bring up the cell phone mandate. And here's the thing. I'm great with cell phones not being in the classroom. I love that. Teachers, I think, love that. I think even students eventually are like, oh, actually, I learned really well. Yeah, you did. But it's funny that we say that, because at the same time, schools roll out Chromebooks in kindergarten. So there's this disconnect of, hey, you can't do this, but actually you kind of can. So there's that disconnect. But you're right. Even the how adults act, I'm not kidding you. I had a conversation just this week. I had a conversation with a very dear friend of mine, and I'm sitting in the car with him because we always sit at pickup together. Our kids are very good friends, and we're sitting in the pickup line and we always talk. And my phone goes off. It's my mom. I ignore it. And he says, you know, I really don't like that you ignore your mom's call. And I said to him, well, I'm going to call her back. He said, well, you can answer. And I said, no, you and I are talking. I'm not going to answer her. We are talking. I said, let's remember 30 years ago when the phone was on the wall in our house and there were no cell phones. This would never happen. But the problem is we've become backwards where it's like, oh, no, it's totally fine. Like, this conversation doesn't matter enough. Well, it mattered to me enough for me to ignore a phone call. You know what I'm saying? But it's so funny because how did I get shamed in that conversation? I'm like, wait a minute. I'm telling you, you have all my attention and yet you want me to answer the phone. But you're right. Society has said technology is king. And it's crazy. King. How do we expect our kids to do better when we can't do it? And we can't.
When we can't. And I have to. I'm telling you, I caught myself Wednesday at a meeting. I have to put my phone away when I'm at the meeting. You know, because I'm conditioned. If I hear that little beep or get it on my
watch, check it.
I'm immediately turning over my phone.
You know what else I hate, Fran? Can I tell you? I don't like the smart watches now. I don't like them. I don't like them at all. And the reason I don't like them is because people check them and they're sneaky. And you know exactly who I'm talking to, Gary McNamara. One of my best friends literally checks his watch all the time. And I get it. I know you're in law enforcement. My mom's guilty of this, too, because she, too, is like, oh, which kid or which grandkid needs something? I hate the smartwatches because exactly that. If I'm having a conversation with you and for a second you're checking something else, I've lost you now. And now I don't really want to talk anymore. I'm not into it.
Absolutely.
I'm over
it. Absolutely. So when I say that, you know, reading is declining, and honestly, I do a lot of training in reading. So I get it. I know, and I know we have to work with the kids, but we've all got to work on it because it's not just about the kids. It's mm-hmm. about all of us.
Yeah. It's a really great point, Fran. So again, reading through this report, and when you look at children's reading ability, and it's interesting that researchers went right to, well, this could be an even bigger problem with artificial intelligence. It actually has been a growing problem society-wise because of technology in general. Artificial intelligence just kind of brings us to another level. So we've got to get serious, and not just with passing laws or looking at how our teachers are handling classrooms. It starts at home. And if you want to take a hard look, like I certainly do all the time, and say, hey, do I contribute to this issue, or am I actually giving good messages to my kid when I'm not good at this? Maybe it's worth kind of testing that theory and seeing if we can combat the issue.
I definitely think so. And, you know, look at the number of people will tell you, gee, I used to read a lot. I'm not reading that much anymore. Or, you know, I take a walk at night sometimes, and I don't mean to, but every house has their TV on. Mm. You know what I mean?
Fran, how many people are walking on the sidewalk and they're texting while they're walking?
And they're texting while they're walking, and they're falling down because they didn't see the crack.
Right. Or they missed what's beautiful around them.
Oh, my God.
That happened this week with the massive sun shower that happened. And my son and I are standing outside looking at it, and the amount of people that just are on their phones. I'm like, are we missing? There's a beautiful rainbow. It's gorgeous. It's so true. It's so true. And the relation, again, back to reading ability, I think there's a lot that we could do to combat this issue, certainly, Fran. And again, it's complex, as you mentioned. There's a lot to unpack there. But I appreciate you always getting real. I really do. Fran Rabinowitz, you know how I feel about you. I adore you. And I so appreciate you having these conversations on the show. Thank you so much. Again, Fran Rabinowitz, Executive Director at the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents, here on WICC.